This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Well, delighted to have this opportunity to come along and talk to you all today. I suppose, given the title of your conference, Michael, you chose the day pretty well, all considered. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to give you a trailer of what is in the budget, because the last chap who did that was Hugh Dalton, and he therefore had a very short ministerial career, some of you may recall. So I don't want to be tempting fate as far as that's concerned. Well, what I can tell you is this. I mean, I think the title of your conference is pretty apposite. But I can update you on one point. Take off the question mark. It's a statement of fact. Because that is the reality that local government as a sector has to confront. We've got the first budget of the new coalition, and we find ourselves facing tough choices around funding, tough choices that stem, I'm afraid, from the dire economic inheritance which we have found, worse, as it turns out, when we look at the books than we had thought prior to the election. I'm afraid, therefore, it's necessary for us to take those tough choices to make sure we can get the economy back onto a sustainable footing. And that's why the Chancellor is going to be having to deliver the tough budget that's been pretty well trailed in advance, so I don't think I need restate that. But the reason we're having to take those tough decisions is precisely because unless we get the economy back on track, unless we're seen to make a prompt start in paying down the deficit, then the pressures of the financial markets, in particular the pressures on interest rates, will put economic recovery in jeopardy and actually will make it even harder for us to fund important public services for the future. So that's why, and that's why the Chancellor, I know, is determined that although the choices will be tough, they will need to be balanced and will be balanced with the protection of frontline services. And that's something that we sought to do when we had to make savings in year, to make sure that there is more flexibility to reflect local need. But it's not all about a dire financial situation, because although we must respond to the economic difficulties that we have inherited, we also, as a coalition, are determined to use this as an opportunity to set out a more ambitious, better future for local government. Challenges we have aren't just problems. Challenges can also be opportunities, and they can give us a mandate for change and an opportunity for change that is genuinely radical. And that's what that change involves. That's why the title of the conference, talking about less funding, well, yes, that's the economic reality, but more power, that is an absolute reality and is very strongly entrenched in the coalition agreement. It's not, though, just change about structures. It's not just change about funding streams. It's not just change about arcane things that we do within the local government world. All those have their role, but it's more than that. This change actually is about the things we need to do collectively to produce what we have called the big society. And you can't divorce the coalition agreement, and you can't divorce our ambitions for local government that Eric Pickles, as the Secretary of State, has already begun very vigorously to set out. You can't divorce that from our belief in the big society as a whole. We see local government as one of the engines through which we can deliver on that big society. A big society is a strong society. It's one where individuals and families and communities are able to take on responsibility for improving their lives. Local government can help to do that. It's not the substitute, but it's the means by which we help people to empower themselves. So what does that mean? New power transfer to local government, but also beyond local government. Devolution doesn't stop at the town hall. New freedom for local government to get on with serving its citizens. And a new political culture where we move away from the state And dare I say, in particular, where we move away from government ministers usurping the responsibility of local leaders and indeed of families and of individuals. So what's next then in that background? We want to hand more choice and freedom back to local authorities and to their communities. The principle is that activity should take place at the most local level possible to give people control and a real say in what happens in their area. And although I recognise, as Mike was saying, local government does well compared with many areas of the public sector, we still have problems. We still have problems in the sector. You know, barely a third of people vote at local elections. Overall, and although there are differences, and I salute Barnett for being one of those differences, overall fewer than half of people are satisfied with their council. In some polls, only about a third think their council provides value for money. Again, some do better than others, but we're averaging this out. And in some polls, I was amazed to find councils are less popular than dentists. Fortunately, they haven't done a comparison with members of Parliament, and I imagine councils might score quite well in that regard. So it's not all glum, but the fact is, the sector, and this is, after all, a sector that I've lived and worked in for many years, 16 years as an elected councillor myself, the sector doesn't get the degree of recognition and credit that it actually deserves. So we've got a way to go in that regard. So we want to change that. And that involves changing the balance of power, and it's building the system around trust and professionals. And can I sum it up this way? An old chum of mine, been a councillor for 25, pushing 30 years, and he's trying to get somebody out to vote in the council election, and he's known this chap for years, and he says, come on, Tom, you know, can't you only take a few minutes, you only live around the corner. And Tom says, no, I can't be bothered, Ron, really just can't be bothered. And he tries again, he says, well, why not? He says, I'll tell you why, he says, every time I go and vote, the council still gets in. And you think about it, there's a great truth in that, because in many respects what that guy is saying, whoever I vote, and whatever the party that's in control, the ability for me to notice a difference is very limited. So we need to change that, where people do notice a real difference in terms of who runs your council and what the council can do. So as part of our commitment as a government, I think we've made a pretty decent down payment on our promise to give you back more power. We move swiftly to do that. We've already announced that we're going to end comprehensive area assessments. We've already said that we're abolishing home information packs. We've already taken steps to reclassify back gardens as green land so that councils can protect gardens in their areas from the garden grabbing that many of us have seen. And we've given them back control over housing densities. We've signalled at a very early stage our intention to scrap the undemocratic regional strategies, the regional assemblies and their successors, and the bin taxes that have proliferated. We've already started to de-ring-fence more grant to give you more local discretion over funding, and I promise there is more de-ring-fencing to come. And we've promised to move swiftly to abolish the Standards Board because the person who should judge the behaviour and the worth of the councillor is the electorate rather than a quango. And after all, I even said that about Ken Livingstone, and that may indicate that I meant it, because it was for the electorate to judge on Ken's record as mayor, not the Standards Board and a court, and that's what we're determined to do. And we've also said that more imposed restructuring from above is a waste of energy, and therefore we have said we have brought in a bill to stop the restructuring of councils in Devon and Norfolk and Suffolk. Ironically, if only our predecessors had listened to the advice of their officials, we might have been saved the High Court judgment, which is going to cost the taxpayer even more money. But our solution is not to keep on changing the structure, but to make what we've got work better and more effectively. So that's just a start, things we've already got underway. We promised in the coalition agreement to promote a radical devolution of power and financial autonomy to local government and community groups. And we want to treat local government like grown-ups rather than the nanny state. So what's next on the agenda? We're going to be introducing new incentives so local communities can benefit directly from business and housing growth. We're going to carry out a review of local government finance. And now, before your hearts all sink, we are not going to reinvent the wheel of all the other reviews that have taken place before. There is now a huge amount of knowledge and learning out there. What we need, actually, is to pull it together and start doing something with it. So that's the sort of review that actually produces something that we have got in mind. Freedom for councils to decide your own structure. It's not for me as a minister to say we have a cabinet system, directly elected, indirectly elected leaders, mayors or committee structures. That's for you to decide. That really is treating local government like a child to prescribe what your own internal mechanisms should be. We want to build on the Sustainable Communities Act so that actually there is a clear sense of what money is spent where across the area. Certainly, directly elected mayors with more powers in the big cities, working with local government to deliver a council tax freeze in 2011-12 and still protecting vital services. And the bit that I think is really important, but often people think is techie, the power of general competence. You look at what happens in France, for example, where local authorities benefit from the existence of the loi des communes, which gives something similar to a general power. That opens up, actually, real opportunities, because it's not just a legal power of competence, it's about a cultural and political change as well. So, actually, I think there's a good time to be in local government now. And the localism bill, which we are committed to, will be one of the biggest bills in the Queen's speech, which we are already working on, will devolve a lot of those powers down to you, and we see that bill as setting in place those parts of the big society, those ideas about greater accountability. You know, it cannot be right that we have a system at the moment where the accountability that local authorities have is 80% reporting up and only 20% reporting down. Our ambition, Eric's, Greg Clark, the Minister of State's and mine, is to reverse that. We want the 80% to be you in the council reporting to your electors. That's why we are insisting upon the publication of information online, because that information is about power. It's about information to people, enabling them to make choices. And that applies whether it's contracts, whether it's the salaries of senior officials. If, as members, you feel you can justify those to your electorate, fine. But the electorate has to know about them before you can start justifying them. So that's why that's key in terms of proper accountability. And I also want to have a situation where local citizens and the local media actually turn automatically to the local council leader, to the directly elected mayor, the leader of the county council or the London borough, as the person they go to when there's a story about what's happening in Hammersmith or Barnet or Bromley or Essex or Kent or wherever, rather than automatically coming along to the minister. And perhaps the best day will be when a minister stands up at the dispatch box and says to one of his parliamentary colleagues, that actually is not a matter for me or for the department, that's a matter for X council. And we shouldn't, therefore, be seeking all the time to second-guess people who have voluntary mandates. But what we hope that you will do in responding to that is recognise, as I say, that the devolution doesn't stop at the town hall or the civic centre or county hall, that we decentralise through you down to individuals, to families, to community groups, to voluntary groups, really vibrant third sector out there, and use all of those opportunities to deliver services. It's thinking about more imaginative ways of doing things. I want to give you local governance back, local accountability back, the ability to take decisions. That's what local government is about. That's about the ability to decide your planning policies rather than it being dictated to you. It's about the ability for you to decide your priorities. It's not about some sort of mark of machismo as to whether you have your own separate payroll system. I suspect you'll all be recognising that there's a huge amount of joint and shared working that can be done. That's common sense in delivering efficiencies. But at the same time, what is important is that you take the big decisions rather than the technical things in your own hands. And that, it seems to me, underpins what we are seeking to do. At the end of the day, it's about shifting power, certainly down to communities, and local government represents communities, but also then down to the families and the individuals themselves. Let me just make it abundantly clear, Mike. We are deadly serious about this. I read sometimes in some of the press, not the MJ, which is always much better informed in these matters, but I do read in some of the press that they think all of this localism is a smokescreen or it's a bit naive. I don't think Eric Pickles or Greg Clark or I are generally regarded as naive, and we're certainly not doing a smokescreen on this. We're doing it because we mean it, and we mean it for three important reasons. Firstly, the simple and immediate one, I actually think localism creates greater efficiency than centralism. Secondly, because it is fundamentally part of our philosophy of handing power down. And thirdly, ultimately, reshaping democracy in the 21st century is about giving power back to people and devolving power to local government to a level closer to people is part of the means whereby we very positively and clearly do that. So I was really pleased to be invited to come along to set out those priorities of the government. We are absolutely committed to making sure that we use the next 5 years to deliver on that. That's a personal commitment that's very close to Eric and I, given our backgrounds, and indeed to all of the coalition team. And I very much look forward, Michael, if I may say, to working both with you and your colleagues in the informed press, to everybody in the local government sector to make that work. We want to be a responsive government that's prepared to listen and discuss. We've got our principles, and there's some things we won't negotiate on because it is a matter of principle. There's a lot of common sense that we can talk to each other about as to how we get there and achieve those objectives. So I think that the more or the less can be more, because the more about power is the means whereby we deliver better and more cleverly for our people, and that's what it's all about.